you recall, we are in the middle of the Gemara Maseches Nida, which touches up what happens when the baby's in the womb of the mother. And that's because we're based on the pasuk Vayereini Vayomer Li Yismach Dvori Libecha Shmar Mitzvah Yisti Vechayei. So Chazal tell us that the Malach gives him a smack and he forgets the Torah that he learned. By the way, there's an expression in Chazal, Kosha Atiki Mechadati. You know that in Pirkei Avos you have Nira Malchuk is different than Nira Cholok. In as far as learning Torah is concerned, it's always best to be fresh, and the idea of something old or used or using erased material seems to be very negative. In the case of the neshama, it's exactly the opposite. When the neshama has that echo, that mark, that erasure from the Torah that he learned, when you have that kind of erasure for the neshama, the exact opposite happens. Because there's an echo, there's a residual trace that allows the person to learn the Torah Hashem Tmima, which is really Achurucha Me'eretz Mido Rechava Miniyam. What I'm trying to say is that perhaps that allows, and Svarim mentioned this point, that even though the Torah is something that is infinite and we are finite, even though the Torah has capacities far beyond the human ability, nevertheless the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us that Torah. I mentioned a number of times that that is perhaps what the Malachim were upset about. What were the Malachim saying? The Malachim were saying, you give an infinite Torah to finite people, they have to damage it, they have to undermine it, they have to ruin it. And in fact, the Torah for the Malachim is a different Torah entirely. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lemaisa did give it to us. So he gives the Neshama the ability to be a base kibul for that Torah. How does he do that? By allowing the Neshama to be familiar, if you will. It's an old friend. And it's not the same when you learn something again, even if you've forgotten it entirely, than if you would have started from scratch, mamish. That's one of the pshatim that is given for why the Ribbono Shel Olam, if you have your notes, take a look at the Bnei Yisoscha that I quoted for you, says as follows. Inei al zeh gamkin akushya kanal, loma melamdin oisoi chas v'sholim lorik, u'mishakchim imenu achar kach. Why do we teach the neshama for naught if we are going to, and this is true of every single neshama bar none, there's no one that escapes from this. So why do we slap the neshama, the tinoik b'mei imai, that he should forget? What is the point of it all? So he writes as follows, Avol hu, dinei zois ha-Torah hinei ne'alemes mi'enei kol choy, ve'ein mavoy le'enosh ali adoma ba'artzius, person who has a gashmistic personality, lahasig mimeno afilu ma'at kot, zulas b'siyua ve'ezer eliki. No one could understand anything in Torah unless he has siyata d'shmaya. And then he adds, ki hu oma vayehi umiyoy meloy ma'atase, v'neyim hu pu'ulas eliki oylam, ein mavoy l'schar v'oynish, kibin shudova hechreichi b'gzeres hayotze breishis. He says, on the other hand, if the Ribbono Shel Olam would give us this Torah, we would have no bechira. So we would not have the schar for the learning of the Torah. So he says, al kein mishakim imenu kol ha-Torah kula b'boi ala oylam, kidei she yisagel yediyas ha-Torah achar kach miritzoynoi b'yediya u'bechira b'da'a shleima. So he explains very well why we forget. But what is the dayelus of learning it in the first place? He hasn't yet fully explained. So he says it now. He says, "Upu'ulas halimud shemalamden oisai kol ha-Torah b'mei imai mahani shetishoya boi chakika b'koyach ha-ezer aliki kedei sheyeyoko ba'artzius lahoitzi min ha-koyach al-apoyo." He says what I told you a few moments ago. The roshim that remains gives him the ability to relate to a nitzchias the ketora even in his gashmi form. He is in a gashmi format. The person is a gashmi, and he needs to relate to a Torah that's not gashmi, and he says it would be impossible if it wasn't for that particular event, b'meye imoy, that he learned kol ha-Torah kula that. U'be'im loy hoyo loy mitzius ha-Torah b'koyach, if he didn't have that potential which was given to him by learning the Torah, b'meye imoy, ein mavoy lovoy lingoya b'ktsei in yonei ha-Torah b'olam hazeh. Kedimyon she'yefsha l'dgei ayom, she'kol mitzius chiyusam b'mayim, she'yir yecholim l'shtadl b'yegiyo l'froyach b'avik k'oif ha-shamayim. He said, let a fish try to fly. It's impossible. He says, that's how it would be impossible for a human being to be able to learn Torah. Except for the fact that the neshama was prepared, and in that way, somehow, we don't know exactly how that works, but somehow he's mesugal now, and roi, even in his gashmi form, to be able to learn Torah. So he adds, now, hagam shemeshakim imenu mitam anal, we have to make him forget because he needs to be able to acquire it by himself. As I told you, the Vilna Gaon insisted that the various Magidim and Malochim wanted to teach him Sisrei Torah. He says, no, I want to be able to acquire it on my own. So he refused to accept the help of these Magidim, of these Malochim. So he says, even though Meshakim imenu mitam hanal, to be able to get the reward, im kol zeh nisha hadava etzlei b'koyach, v'al yedei yigi osay yochel lohoitzi hadava min hakoyach al hapoyel. V'u kedimyum ben odom sheroi zedava v'nishkach mimenu zman rav, im kol zeh be'ei sheroi hadava nechak b'koyach hazikaron, u'bema'at kot al yedei yishtadlus yizkar kach v'kach hoya ha'maisa. He says a lot of times, he's talking about the subconscious. Something is buried in the subconscious. But something triggers an episode, an event, a crisis, a moment, and suddenly the subconscious opens up. And people remember episodes that b'shum oifen, they cannot believe they remembered. There are even stories about people remembering episodes from their infancy almost. So how is that possible? The answer is, because it's there. You just don't know that it's there. Of course, the subconscious is not the neshama, and the neshama is not the subconscious. It's a bezunder zachem. Psychologists don't know from a neshama. But lemaisa, the idea that he's trying to give as an analogy is me'ein, the idea of the subconscious. There is also this idea. A lot of people try to remember something b'shumayf and they cannot remember it. And then later they do remember it. Obviously it's there. Me'ein zeh, he says, the koyach that's given, the malach is satray, doesn't allow him to be mishakeach to such an extent that it is not there ke'ilu loyhoya. There's something that remains. And that something allows the person to be mechadish and to be ma'ayin, and that's the pshat yogata u'matzasa. Because really it is a mitziah. Okay. Now, of course, I just want to make the following observation. And I don't mean to be sarcastic, but it is anyhow. All of this is true about Emes HaTorah. When a person's Mechadish or Krumah Svara, don't imagine that that's what the Malach taught him. Okay? I'm just saying, you know, this is an ideal, an abstraction. And of course, that's the idea that the Bnei Yisoschar wants to tell us. The next thing that I wanted to do with you is go back to the Gemara. And the Gemara says that they made him take a shvuah, that he should be a tzaddik, and he shouldn't be a rasha. Now, very remarkable idea, the whole idea of the shvuah. But let's go back to the Gemara itself. It says, Mahi ha-shvuah, shemashbiyin also, tehi tzaddik va'altihi rasha. And then it adds, va'filu kol ha'olam kuloi oimim l'cho tzaddik ato, heyei be'einecho kerasha. Ve'hevi yodeya, שהקדוש ברוך הוא טהור, משוסף טהורים, ונשומר שנוסם בכל טהור היא, אם אתה משמר בתאר המוטב, אם לאו, הרי נינות לא ממך. So the idea of משביעין או יסוי, תהי צדיק ואל תהי ראשה, is a very fascinating idea. What's licked in them? And even more so, Afilu kol olam kula imlocha tzadikata heyei beinecha karosha. What is that? How does that connect to the idea that the shvua was heyei tzadik va'al tihiyeh rasha? So I think the pshat is as follows. First of all, what is heyei tzadik va'al tihiyeh rasha? And what is the inyan b'chlal that he has to take a shvua? Every neshama has a kind of Kabbalah HaTorah moment like Maimed Har Sinai. The pshat is there's a bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes with the neshama. It's not pshat that the neshama is like Tahar in the sense that it's blank. What we call a tabula rasa, a clean slate. It's the impression. There's a pure neshama, and now it comes down on earth. But it doesn't have an agenda. The agenda is for the human being. The human being was given the Torah, and when the neshama enters him and he grows up, and he has the ability to understand and to comprehend what machay vasay bi'alamay, so it's that amalgamation of the human being that is a combination of neshama and guf, a combination of his ruach and efesh and neshama and guf. That personality, that entirety, that entity alone, to be, that's the first time there's an achrayus of a bris that connects him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and creates responsibilities to keep the Torah. In other words, the sense is that it's an agenda that starts here on earth from the time that the child is born, or from the time that he's bar mitzvah, to be precise. What this Gemara is telling me is that that is not so. The agenda begins for the neshama mitzad atzma. The neshama is tehi tzaddik. Now the question is, this baby, the uber b'mei imai, right now doesn't have an ability to be mekabel the achrayus of a contract, because the baby that comes out doesn't even know how to talk, doesn't have enough seichel to be able to do anything for themselves, much less to be able to take a shvua, which requires ha'adam b'shvua. It requires das. So how is it possible to say that this baby, this infant, the Torah says it's not the infant, it's the neshama that's going into the infant. So then what does the neshama have in achrayus? It's the person later that has the achrayus. So you see from this Gemara that it's not so. Notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the neshama itself an agenda. Tehi tzadik va'al tehi rasha. It's a very remarkable idea. Very remarkable. This point of, and when you come out, you should never allow yourself to deem yourself to be a tzaddik, and yitiyah be'einecha karosha, why does it follow? So this is what I wanted to suggest to you. There is, in this idea of Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, a very complex picture. That force, that Yetzer Tov, where does it come from? The most of the Yetzer Hara is built into the Gashmi of the person. It's his Tivus and his instincts that is his Iker Yetzer Hara. Some of it is extremely sophisticated. At the very beginning, when we started learning the Vilna Gaon's Pshat in Mishlei, the first Perek, so we saw the Gaon's understanding that there are two levels of Yetzer Hara, and there is the extreme Gashmi Taivadika, the Koyach HaTavoni, he calls it, and then there's the other Koyach, which he calls the Koyach HaKa'asoni. But the fact of the matter is that both of these Koyaches are simply shifting levels of taiva. In other words, the same child that grabs everything in sight and may take things that are not healthy for them into their mouths because they don't know the difference, when they grow up, they may want to be rapacious and take everything from all their neighbors. So be'etzem, that will be done with extraordinary seichel, with crafty plans and schemes. You know, where the person tries to outwit the other fellow or to outmaneuver the other person in business, and there are no holds barred because there's no morality behind it. So that is basically the same type of the baby. It's just translated as the person grows to the capacities that he has. But where's the Yetzer Tov coming from? Where does that idea come from? So someone might want to say, that's also a natural instinct. People are naturally good, people are naturally nice. And then you get to all machloikas. What is the genuine nature of a person? So ze yoim ba'chay, ze yoim ba'chay. But we have a saga that our koiches hanefesh start with a neshama that's tahira, that is charged with an agenda, and it is so powerful, that koyach, that we would expect that if a person listens to his neshama, he allows himself to say, and that's what the Gemara is telling me, that I made it. I did it. And there are individuals who are capable of transforming, channeling, and harnessing their koiches hateva to such an extent that they are mevatel, the koiches hakeyim inside of themselves, and they elevate and elevate and elevate themselves to the highest madrigas. They are the chosen few. Most people are bogged down and are constantly in this tremendous struggle between these forces. The neshama and the koyach hatov that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives this charge of being good to heat tzaddik, and the natural instinct of the guf, and you have all of this arsenal of tov and ra fighting inside of you. Everybody is a shtick, Yaakov and Esav battling it out. But lemaisa, there are yechidei skula. So the neshama is told, it's an amazing thing, that you should never allow yourself the delusion, ki'ilu, of you are already the tzaddik that you started out being, as it were. Then the question is, what is that all about? So you have a number of svarim that point to the famous Gemara Daf Chof Ches and Brachas, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai on his deathbed, which the Gemara describes Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that there was not one thing in Torah that he left out. And nevertheless, and he was Maimid Talmidim L'Roiv, and he was the Manhig of Klal Yisrael, and he was obviously a tremendous tzaddik. So this Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he's on his deathbed, and the Talmidim ask him, why are you crying? He says, because there are two paths before me, and I don't know in which direction they're taking me. So this Gemara is incredibly intriguing. Is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai really so concerned that he's going to go to Gehenna? So some of the Mefarshim, some of the Sfarim write that is the natural and obvious achrayus of everyone based on this Gemara, that he has to never allow himself to rest on his laurels, and there's always a fear, always a katayinti min achasadim. And there are many Sfarim that make this point. Take a look for a moment in the Aruch Laner, if you have the sheets, and you'll see another example of this. We actually quote Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gemara Yu ben Echa Karasha. So he asks a kasha that's based on a stira. Avsha tana oimer va'alti rasha b'fnei atzmacha, va'ayim b'bar tenura sham shalachad pirush shalo yachzik atzmai karasha. He's not supposed to consider himself a Rasha. Haynu dafka le'inyan shelo yisya'ish atzmai, ke'ilu ein lo tikva chas v'shalem. Elo yiftach b'ashem ki chanun v'rachum hu l'hashov elov. The person who does tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always be kind. Avol hocha mayri, kisha oylam oymrim lucha tzadik ata, ukevar hizgalta maisim toivim yoysa midai, v'tein mar goya l'nafshecha. You should say, a person tells you, convinces you, or you convince yourself, you've done so many mitzvahs, you have so much schar, you have so many sgulois, you've overcome your yetzahara, you have proof that the yetzahara does not have shlita over you, you made it, you arrived. So that a person is never allowed to do. I just want to comment on that comment that he made a moment ago, that when it says, al tihirashab fnei atzmacha, it means don't be misyayish. This is one of my discoveries, if you will. It's a Ramban. The Ramban says it befeirush, but you have to see it in the Ramban. You have to discover what the Ramban says befeirush. In the Ramban's Hakdama to Sefer Dvarim, the Ramban explains a pasuk that every one of us knows. Ki imcha hasalicha lema'an tivare. And the Ramban asks, this is 10 words in the Ramban. There's no elaboration, it's very indirect. But this is what the Ramban is asking. The pasuk seems to be without pirush at all. Ki imcha haslicha, in order, lema'an, in order that you be feared. If somebody would say, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need? What attribute would be proper that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be feared? What would you say? Oynesh, the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki imcha ha-oynesh, ki imcha ha-yira, ki imcha ha-pachad, whatever. Ki imcha ha-slicha, l'man tivoreh. It doesn't seem to shtim. How do you reconcile these two halves of the pasuk? Ki imcha ha-slicha, l'man tivoreh. So the Ramban basically says as follows. If a person knows that he sinned and it's far foul, you know what far foul means? It's too late, there's nothing to do, you are lost. That is the biggest opening for the Yetzer Hara to convince you that now that the jig is up and anyhow you failed, you might as well enjoy life while you're at it. And do this Avera and that Avera, just keep doing Averos because you're Yerush Gehenim already and there's no possibility for any redemption. Ki imcha haslicha, when there's a possibility of slicha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the pathway of tshuva, then you are feared because the person says there is hope and there is a chance, let me try. And therefore he engages in Yirat Shamayim instead of the opposite, descending deeper and deeper into the chaos of his averus. And that is the pshat of the Ramban, ki imcha haslicha l'man tivarei. This is exactly what Al Tehi Rasha Ba'atzmecha. This is, and by the way, Rasha doesn't always mean I am the worst person on earth. Person who thinks like that, then he has to see Pashut a psychiatrist because I'm serious. Obviously, his mechanism has fallen apart. Most people have inside of them a natural protective instinct not to see themselves in that black darkness. But everybody has a perception that they are failing. This is a very common phenomenon. And it's very rare that a person imagines that he has the capacity to do great things. Last night at the dinner, somebody pointed out that what I try to do is give people their sense of what they're capable of. It's true. Because this is the achrayus of a rav of any kind, or a manik of any kind. To just, and a parent, to give the person the realistic assessment of his capacity. Everybody who tries to do that, they go overboard and they imagine things that the person is completely not capable of. And when that crashes, it does the exact opposite. Instead of enhancing the person's self-respect, it makes the person more Jewish than ever. That's why parents sometimes, in their imaginary desire that their child should have this tremendous hatzlacha, which sometimes is a replacement thing, or a displacement, whatever you want to call it, they should have had that hatzlacha. But they failed, and never had a chance. So you're going to be the hatzlacha that I should have been, in learning, in life, in parnotza, in whatever. And they demand and expect of that child capacities that they simply do not have, bichlal. I'm not talking about that. Every person, each person is a gem that has not been honed, that has not been cut, that has not been refined. And that's the way it is. And it depends in what. So this one is a gadol in chesed, and this one is a gadol in Torah, this is a gadol in maisim tovim, this one is a gadol in charm and in personality. You can do all kinds of things with your kishronos. And the kishronos are many. This one is a kish, has this kishron and that kishron. There are so many different kinds of kishronos. But the yesod advarim is to have enough confidence in oneself that they are more than what they are right now. That's the yesod. And also that no one knows how far they can go. The problem is we can't predefine that. We can't say you can know gantz shas ba'al peh. That's not safe.
Because if he can, then he'll find that out by himself.
But if you can tell a person you have a gevaldik zikaron, instead of memorizing batting averages, yeah, I'm serious. I know a gadol that for the first 20 years of his life, he was memorizing, knew every player's batting average, and he could tell you all the statistics. And gedreita kopena hitelbeck and dvarim, it's not even dvarim shemabekach, it's obscene. It's obscene to use a human mind for such nonsense. The person one day, somebody, I don't know who, gave him a slap, the opposite slap. Not the slap that makes him forget the Torah, but the slap that makes him wake up, where Yesheni Mishanaschem, was Pinsta Meshuga. You have such a Zikara, and it's a Chavegas Etzlanen. The man knows 3/4 of Shas Baal Peh now. Imagine 3/4 of Shas Baal Peh, and Mickey Mantle. He has some Mickey Mantle? Yeah. I confused the two, Mickey Mantle and Mickey Mouse. Oh, but the Unterschiede is that it's the Chmamish Meshuga after Welt. But that capacity is the capacity that everybody has a Gvaldik Zikaron. You try to convince a person to memorize Shas that doesn't have a Zikaron at all, it's a disaster. That's not for him. However, you'd be amazed what willpower and diligence can accomplish even on a piece of wood. So one never knows. And the Iker is that one has to keep striving and striving and striving. And you build and you keep going. And that's why it's Shira Malos, because you have steps. Steps means this: you have to come to rest each time. Digest, incorporate, develop, and then you go back there. You can't all of a sudden go from 1 to 100. You know, they have these cars, that the mile of the car. I'm sitting in traffic for an hour. I'm sitting mamish bumper to bumper. And I'm saying to myself, if only I had a car that went from 0 to 100 in 10 seconds. That's what I need. Mamish, and the world is having sugar to melt. Mamish, mid our concept, all our concept. Oh, but the fact is that in life, you can't do that. You can't go from 0 to 100. You cannot go from 0 to 100. 0 to 100, by the way, I just want to be moisif for ha'ara that many people do not fully comprehend. I mean, maybe, at least let's say there is this approach to that chazal. Which chazal am I referring to? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Yesh kaina olamo b'shoa achas. Bacha Rebbe. So whatever Rebbe was boicha about is not our agenda right now. But if anyone should imagine that that's an ideal, you have to have your heads examined. Imagine a person does all the averus in the world and is a mushkos for his entire life. And one day he wakes up. That's a life? That's not a life. That's a disaster. It should be kind of alam b'shachas. Where were you? What happened all those years? And look at the damage that you did all those years. Think a person is an island unto himself? If he's a Rasha, then he may as Chaveirim Rishayim. And if he did an Aveira, he must have co-opted somebody else. And who knows how much harm he did. The person's a Gazlan, he's a Malastim, a Sabriyas. One day he wakes up, he wants to do Tshuva. So that idea that we build and we build and we build, this is an agenda for a lifetime. So it's always good to have people around who convince you to a truth that everybody really knows but doesn't want necessarily to believe. Either because of previous failures, or because they're afraid of success. You know, people are afraid of Hatzlocha. You know why? Because Hatzlocha brings with it responsibility. Imagine if somebody convinces me that I could know Shas. So why don't you? But if I think that I can't, put them in our mitzvahs. It's like Kimcha Aslicholam Antivare, the same idea. So when the agenda is to eat tzaddik, a person has to know, Alti Rosha Bifnei Atzmacha. But the Aruch Laner says that has nothing to do with what the Gemara Nida is talking about. The Gemara Nida is talking about not a person who's giving up hope, and therefore they tell him, don't be a Rasha in your own eyes, you're a tzaddik. You know, many times people today, especially when they want to criticize their children or their Talmidim, they start by saying, tzaddikol. Tzaddikol, you know, no, you are a tzaddik. It's just this particular thing you didn't do 100%. So he says, so what is the pshat? So he says, the pshat here is not that, of course, kichanu baracham Hashem, and you can do tshuva, and you can be perfect, and don't be messiah. Aval hocham ayri, the Gemara Nida is talking about something else. Kesha oilam oimrim lecha tzadik ata, don't pay any attention. So last night I had the tremendous zechus that a gadol b'Torah and a colleague of mine, a Flatbush, gets up and he says, Rabbi Kahn is A, B, C, D. And I want you to know, I loved every second of it. But I didn't believe it for a second. There's a very big difference between the two. Everybody likes to be kissed. But if he's kissed and he knows he doesn't deserve it, he still likes the kiss. Aber avesas, sinach nicht. Sinach weit von dem. And that's the pshat over here. But I wanted to mention a few other pshatim of this maisa with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But he quotes Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He says, "Umilon ugadol mi Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai." Says Doruch Laner, "Shebishas misasay Omar she'ena yodeya eze derech meilichan oisay im legehenim im leganeidim." So he says, if he had a suffix, and this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai talking, what are we going to do? So of course, he tells him right at the outset, you should never imagine you arrived. You're not the tzaddik that you might think you are. There's always room for improvement. And look, even on his deathbed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had tzfeikus. Where is he headed? I just wanted to point out, the Shem Shmuel brings in the name of Rabbi Avraham Malach. The name itself is frightening. So the Shem Shmuel writes that Rabbi Avraham Malach said that there's certain tzaddikim that if they falter in the midst of their avoda, they stop the avoda and they fix the pagam right then and there. There are certain people who, he says, are in a higher madrega that they refuse to stop their avoda even if they find the pagam in it, and they just keep going. It's a very interesting idea, and I don't want to elaborate upon it, but that's how he understands Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says that in my avoda I may have left a lot of loose ends. Ve'ein yodeya ve'eise derech. Reb Chaim Vital, on the other hand, he says that certain people who are on an extremely high madrega, they need to be mitaking the oilam haneshamas, and when they are niftar, instead of what they deserve, which is to go straight into Gan Eden, they take a detour to Gehenim to elevate the neshamas that are in Gehenim. It's a meridika idea. And of course, again, that's something that we will elaborate upon, but that's what he says what happened with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that he's not sure. There's another pshat that I wanted to share with you, which is a very beautiful pshat from the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer was giving a hesped on a certain Malamed Dardiki. Now, before I explain to you what he says, a Malamed Dardiki, a Malamed of little children. A Malamed in Cheder. So there are big Rosh Yeshivas and then a Malamdim in Cheder. So I wanted to tell you what he says, but before I tell you what he says, I'd like to give a shtickle hakdama of my own. And this is important to know. We make we say Kriya Shema, we say Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, and then we say Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. In Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, we have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is the parish of Shema Yisrael. In Vaeschanan, in the Kabbalah Oil HaMitzvahs, which is in Ekev, Vahoya Im Shamaya, we also have Mitzvahs Talmud Torah, correct? But the formulation is not the same. It's not identical. In the Parsha of Shema, we say, Vishinantam Levonecha V'dibartavam. Vishinantam Levonecha V'dibartavam. But who's the pasuk talking to? V'dibarta, you. Who is the you? The parent or the Rebbe? Exactly, correct. The parent or the Rebbe. In other words, the pasuk is telling me that you should teach it to them, but you should also learn it yourself. That's right. What about the parsha in V'hayim Shemaya? V'limaditem osam es b'neichem lidaberbon. What's missing? Your responsibility is to teach. But what about your own learning? It doesn't talk about your learning. Limaditam osam as b'neichem, that they should be l'daber bom. But it doesn't say about your learning. But there is not the only chiluk. First of all, as everyone knows, the parsha of Shema is in the singular,
the parsha of Yishmaya in the plural. Limadetem in the plural. Vishinanta osam. Shinantam is a mem. It doesn't mean the plural. It's osam. It's the objective pronoun. It's vishinanta osam. The dibarta. Dibarta is singular. So in other words, the malamed in Shema is one. The malamdin in Vayim Shemaya is plural. That's one chiluk. The language of Talmud Torah is different. Shinantam is divrei Torah mechudadim b'ficha. It's a very high level of learning. The limaditem is a simple level of learning. And then, of course, the chiluk that the malamid is mentioned that he has to learn. Mashen kein in Vayim Shemaya, the malamid is not mentioned. So there are three chilukim. Yochid v'rabim, the question of the quality of the learning, and finally, the Rebbe's learning. Those three chilukim are oyle bekone echad, as they say. They have a common denominator. It depends what kind of learning we're talking about. Elef nichnasim lemikra echad yoytze lahayra. The level of Ishinantam has few talmidim, or fewer talmidim. The level of limanitem is universal. So there are many talmidim. A Rebbe who teaches Chumash, and he says, Kindalach, let's say the Pasuk, Bereishis in Anfang, Bara Vashafen. How much is he going to gain about learning the Pasuk when he said the same Pasuk over day in and day out for 2 weeks, and every year he chazes over exactly the same to the next grade? Everybody, the first grade or the second grade, learns the same thing. How much does the Rebbe learn from that environment? It's true, after a point, one of my mispalalim who moved to Queens, got married, moved to Queens, became a Rebbe, a malamid, for the sixth grade. So he brings me kuntresim. And the kuntresim are all Baruch Shekivanti. That's the name of the kuntres. And these are all shtiklach Torah, some of them very sophisticated, that were mechudish by the Talmidim when they were learning. But that is already on some level. But the Malamed Dardik Imamish, the Malamed Tinoikas, there's nothing there. So who's learning? The Tinoikas are learning. But he himself is not learning. That's why it's Vilimanatam Osam is Benechem Lida Berba. But the Shinantam, everybody knows, Mitalmidai Yoyse Mikulam. How does the Rambam say, very famous Rambam? The Rambam says that a Rebbe is Mechuyav to be affectionate to his Talmidim and to be Makariv them. Why? Because in the same way that they are Mechuyav to be Makariv him, he is Mechuyav to them. And I asked a simple question, the same? Just because there is an Inyan doesn't mean it's the same Inyan. The reason that a Rebbe deserves kavod is because the Rebbe is like a father. Kavod is a miyachas simcha. Could you imagine the following? That the Rambam would say, in the same way that a son is mechuyev to be mechabed his father, so too the father is mechuyev to take care of his son and to love him and to cherish him and so on. It's true, but it's not kishay. It's two different worlds. One is a matter of fealty and deference, and the other one is simply, you're a father, you have a child, you have to take care of him. But it's not kishem. Kishem means the same. So the answer is, the Rama means kishem seriously. He means it literally. Because a Rebbe of a Talmud deserves kavod. And the Talmud is the Rebbe of the Rebbe on some level. And it is that koyach. How do I know all of this? Because when the Rambam continues, he speaks about Eitz Katan Madlik Eitz Gadol, and he quotes Mitalmida Yosef Mikulam, Harbi Lomaniti V'Yosef Mechaver Mitalmida Yosef Mikulam, and you see clearly that the Rambam's agenda here is that on a certain level of learning, without a Talmud, the Rebbe can never arrive at the proper maskanas. He needs the questioning and the prodding and the confusion of the Talmidim to be able to clarify and to develop the Torah that he needs to say. And there's no shaila that when someone has to give a shir, it's ein adaymid and somebody's just learning the sugya stop. Even the preparation is different, but certainly when the encounter with the Talmidim. So that's why it's v'shinantam levanecha. If it's that level of learning, then it's v'dibar torba. Then it's going to lead to your growth in Torah. So,
The two parashiyos are two worlds of Talmud Torah, each one, of course, critically important in its own way. And there's no Melamed Dardiki that could possibly imagine that he has a lowly parnasa, or that he's not up to par, he hasn't reached, you know, any madregas, because his role in its place and in its time is as important as the Gadol's role in teaching Torah to the highest level of Talmid. But there are two kinds of Limud HaTorah. There was a Melamed Dardiki that was Nifter, and the Ksav Sefer gave a hesped on this Melamed Dardiki. And he wrote a whole drasha. And the drasha must be printed also. I'm not a bucky in the drushas of the Ksav Sefer, but I suspect that it's printed. But in his Chumash, in his Pirush on Chumash, he makes reference to it, and he speaks as follows. You don't have it in your notes, but I want to read part of it to you. The Ksav Sefer is on the Pasuk in Bereishis Perek Aleph, the Eis HaKoychav.
What Pasuk is there?
It's Pasuk Tes Zayin. The Eis HaKoychavim, he quotes a pasuk in Daniel, "V'hamaskilim eshiru kizoya harakia umatzdike harabim kakoychavim." There's a Gemara. This pasuk is well known to those who learn the first parak of Baba Basra. It's a Gemara that Ches Amid Beis, and the Gemara says that matzdike harabim kakoychavim are the malamde tinoikos. So he wants to know. I mean, this is what he was saying. Isn't there a bigger mitzvah to teach gedolim? Like, why do we say that the Masim Yaskil, Matzdike, or Rabin, they're like the stars? Mamish like the stars. Who? It doesn't say the Rosh Yeshiva. It doesn't say the Gedolei Hador. It says the Melamdei Tinoikos. So he says, what's so special about Melamdei Tinoikos? Venerally, ki hamalamed la'acherim zuchusoy gadolhu. It continues to light, up his world. Gam acha moisei kishenase chavshi mina mitzvos, who idenu oimedu mishamish lifnei Hashem, ki yesh lo zchus Torah umitzvos mehatalmidim. Says an amazing thing. He says, when a person is gone from the world, he no longer has opportunity to elevate himself. Because Hayoim La'asaisam, Umocha L'kavos Chara, the Oilam HaMaisa, that's where you can do your pa'ula. The minute the person is gone, all opportunity for him to elevate himself are reduced to nothing. It's a scary thought. There's no agenda in the Oilam HaEmes that allows a person by his own bootstraps to lift himself up. So how come this movement? And how come tzaddikim ein lohem menucha loy b'olam hazeh v'loy b'olam haba? So the answer is because down below there are zechuyos that continue after a person's petira, zechuyos of tzedakah, zechuyos of chesed, zechuyos of children that he raised, etc., etc., that allow those pu'ulos on earth from those that he inspired and brought into the world, or his Talmidim, or the people that he was mashbi'an, or the tzedakah chesed that continues after him, that elevates him ma'ila mola just the same. Hagam, that he can't do anything for himself anymore once he's oiled to the oilam ha'amis. So he says, v'chei nimshu'u l'koychavim shemeirim lo'oilam yoyim v'layla lo'yich ben eiram rak she'ein nirim bayoyim kach ha'tzadikim im gam ein nirim lonu. But hey, me'irim lo'ilam abob is chus ha'talmidim. That's what he writes. But he writes the following, and this is a fascinating idea, and I was thinking to myself about this idea, and I had a shtickle ha'ara in what the Ksav Sefer is saying, that maybe it's not so poshut. And I'll tell you what I mean after I tell you what he says. He says, yesh chas v'sholem behefech, ha'malamid le'talmidim she'enam hagunim, he says the same koyach that it can improve a person's matzav in olam ha'emes by the talmidim down here on earth, the opposite is also and equally true, he says. He says, "Kada amru chazal." This is Gemara Chulin Kuflamet Gimel Amud Aleph, which the Rambam I learned it with you in a different context. That even a Talmud that's eino hagun, once he comes to your doorstep, if you remember, you're supposed to embrace him and take him in. You can't send him away, but you can't teach him Torah either, because Malamit Talmud sheino hagun kilu zorik evan lemarkolis. It's like Ovid Avodah Zarah chas v'shalom. So he said, "No, okay, so you can't teach him, but you can't send him away. So what should you do with him?" So the Rambam says, "You fix him, and then you teach him. You make a mensch out of him. You make an Eved Hashem out of him, and then you teach him Torah." So he says, "What about a person who had a Talmud she'eino hagun?" So he says, "You may never know, and you may never be able to repair him. And in the end, this Talmud she'eino hagun, when he continues a life of deceit and a life of reform, you know, this was very common. Nebuch, they had people who were sitting in the yeshivas of the gedolei olam, and then they were shanu piresh, and they took all of that knowledge and they lorded over the people who didn't know as much as they did. And you see, look, I don't have a problem with this particular idea or that idea or this halacha or that halacha. You're asking me why I'm not a Shomer Shabbos in your way? Because I found the Teich. I found the Pshat. And who am I? I'm the Talmud of the Gadol Hador. What are you talking about?" And there were such people all over the place. The beginning of the Reform Movement and the Conservative Movement. V'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. There's always a Talmud, and he's Taylor B'ilun Gadol. He says, "Well, you're starting up with me. I know every Shia of this Rav or that Rosh Yeshiva or whatever. So what are you telling me stories? I know better than you, and I know more than you." So these Eisvarfs turn out that the life of rejecting the Torah and violating the mitzvahs is a negative impact upon the Rosh Yeshiva that gave them that capacity and somehow apparently was not able to inspire them to do it b'kedusha v'tara. It's very frightening. So he says, but, and he says, ad kedei kach, that's what I think the pshat is, and I said it in my drushes, he says. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, at the end of his life, he says, there are two paths before me, I don't know which path they're taking me. What is the pshat? Because Pibaldi had a velt of Talmidim, so he doesn't know if there aren't Talmidim that are Einam Hagunim, who will inevitably force him to be led in the other direction. In the Olam Hamas. It's an incredible, incredible idea. And that's what he writes. Beis Drachim Lefonai. Hainu Dekoidim Mois Ha'odom Einoid Beis Drachim Lefonav. Echad, it's Lefi Maisav. Im Toivim Hayu Darka Legan Eden. Vim Roa Darka Mezum Legehenim. He says another pshat, a nuance in his pshat. He says, Beis Drachim mean that there are two completely different paths, not in the sense one goes up and one goes down. The elevator that goes up and the elevator that goes down. He says that's one path. If you do good, you go up, and if you don't do good, you go down. In other words, he's learning path, not a direction, but path, a mahalach, a philosophy, a way. The way can go to the right and to the left, because a highway depends if you go this way or that way, but it's the same highway. He says there are two highways. What is two highways? He says there's one highway that's totally in my activity, and there's another highway that is not totally in my activity, but in my Talmidim's activity. That's Shnei Shevilim. And not so pashut, because he's saying that you could have done better. The Talmud that learns, and also, you're mechuyev to know that he shouldn't be your Talmud. That's the pshat of Ein Melamdin LeTalmud Sheino Hagun. Of course he doesn't. It's not a question of Ein Shaliach. You're asking, is it his fault that the Talmud was a Shano Pirish? He did his best, and the Talmud became Nebuch Neisvar. So vice versa, that the Ksav Sofer says it's not so pashut. But then the Ksav Sofer says, and this is the point that I'm about to make, aura on the Ksav Sofer. The Talmud is mekulkal, and he goes off, and he makes all kinds of philosophies. He says such a thing doesn't exist by little children. He says, Kol ze b'malamid l'gedoylim, avo malamid l'ktanim she'enam bale aveira, v'loitam utam chet, v'enam adayin m'chuyavim b'mitzvahs. Zeba tuach libay kischaray gadol. V'yafa amru matzdiki arabim kakoychavim. When is there a guarantee? That's dafka by malamdei tinoikas. Shehem bevadai meirim kakoychavim. Herachti bazeh. That's what I told you. Behespeder shalamdan muflog malamit tinoikas. Be'munas oimen nifla be'umanusay. So he's chayich yikyeh le'olam haba. Olof nemar matzdike arabim kakoychavim le'olam v'ad. Just wanted to make her aura. Not that he would disagree with me, because the very last words that he said was that I gave a hesped about an uman that was what? What was he? That he was a baki nifla b'umanusai. He was a gadol as a malamed. I just wanted to make her aura. This idea that a Rebbe can teach on a high level and have Talmidim that take that knowledge and use it in an extremely negative way, that taka does not exist by a child. There's no knowledge that the child can take from a malamed of Chumash and Siddur that he's able to use as a weapon. If he doesn't go any further, then nobody pays any attention to him altogether. And if he does go further, so he'll have other rebbeim. So the malamid is safe, as it were. Bamed dvarim amurim. If we're talking about the malamid b'toiras, the Torah that he taught. But let me ask you the following question. You have amazing stories. Some of them are even written in Sfarim. The Rebbe had a hard day. He's trouble at home. He has tzaris, has medical issues. Comes into class, and this little boy appears to be doing something wrong. And the Rebbe laces it into him ba'ofen noira, totally out of proportion, and it turns out that the child didn't even do anything wrong. It could very well be that the damage that this Rebbe did at that moment is so significant that the point is that if you have a malamed and the malamed is a malamed that's not ogun, or the malamed loses himself, or the malamed does not realize the responsibility and the awesome achrayus that he has, the malamed can do more damage than any Rosh Yeshiva could possibly do to the personality of the child, to his desire to learn, to his willingness. Now, by the way, this can often be distorted and exaggerated. You have to take everything with a grain of salt. I once was traveling up to the mountains with my children. They were very young at the time. And we wanted to play a tape for them to keep them busy in the back of the car. So I took the tape recorder, but I didn't realize that the batteries were dead. So we had to stop off to get it. So I went into one of these stores that sells, all kinds of things, Schmunzes, and he has batteries. So I asked the fellows, a young fellow sitting there behind the counter, I asked him, you have, C batteries or whatever it was? So he doesn't answer my question. He says, do you know why I'm not religious anymore? This happens all the time. So I said, frankly, I don't. So I'll tell you. And he tells me a following Maisa. He says his father was Nifta. And until then, he was like he was like the shamish in the shul. He was a youngster, he was a boy, little boy. He was like the shamish in the shul to prepare the shal shudas. And he loved the shul and he loved the rav and he loved everything. He was mamish gevaldik. Anyhow, His father was Nifter. Apparently there was no one to deliver a hesped, whatever, where that Rav was of that shul, I don't know. Maybe he went away somewhere, he was not available, so they took the Rav from the chapel. So he hears the rabbi say, that's what he's telling me, he hears the rabbi say to the wife, that for $500, I'll give you this kind of hesped. But if you give me $1,000, I'll really do a good job. He says, that turned him off to Yiddishkeit forever. So, you know, that doesn't turn anyone off to Yiddishkeit. Come on. You know, the criminal thing to do. But you don't give Yiddishkeit all of a sudden up for a Narishkeit. The teretz is, everybody's looking for terutzim and excuses. So he found himself a shtickle excuse. He couldn't control his taivus, and he probably didn't have a good chinuch, and the father was nifter, or besides, so and he needed to find a peg, you know, to excuse himself. Like, you know, after all, he loved the shalosh shunas, so what happened? Why did you give all of that up? But it does happen on occasion. I know of a certain person that I have no doubt could be a Rosh Yeshiva, just like some of his Chaverim who became Rosh Yeshiva. And he had a Rebbe, this was in the 8th grade, that made him miserable on a daily basis. I don't know why and what and when. But the fact is that there is no doubt in his mind, and I think no doubt in my mind also, from the stories that he tells me, or used to tell me, that this is the Makkeh Bepatish that convinced him he's not Shayach to learning Torah. So instead of what we spoke about at the beginning of this year, this was mamish tova v'ifucho, constantly undermining him, constantly knocking his resolve, constantly telling him he's no good. So you mean to tell me that a malamed darbiki goes chinam? No. He's talking about a person who's an umma nifla. What he's saying is, you could be the best Rosh Hashiva in the world, and you could still not know beis ederech malichan oisai. Because who knows what your talmidim are going to end up doing? In spite of you sometimes. You ask me? The Torah says, because you're never completely free and clear. And not only that, but I suspect that the Ksav Sefer is choshesh, that the Ribbono Shel Olam attributes to a person the fact that he gave this Rosha his capacity, even though it's not his fault, the Rebbe. Which is an amazing thing to say. But maybe he doesn't say that. Maybe he says it is his fault on some level. He should have caught him. He should have chased him out. He should have whatever. But the fact of the matter is that these kind of Talmidim can do damage. The other kind of Talmidim can't do damage. What are they going to do damage with? But he never said that the Malamed can't do damage. That he never said. Because he's talking about a Malamed that's perfect. I just want you to know that there are many Malamdim that go into this because there's nothing else for them to do. And there are sometimes malamdim that go into it because they have havaminas, which didn't work out. A malamid that wanted to be, and still wants to be, an 11th grade Rebbe, and he's in the 5th grade, run for your lives. Because such a malamid, with the rarest of exceptions, is always going to feel that these little kinderlach that are in front of him are ripping his heart out because he really should have been a big Talmud Chacham, teaching bigger Talmud Chacham and famous and important in the world. So you need a Malamed Dardiki that revels in his role and understands that what he's doing is Matzdike HaRabim Kakoychovim Li'oilam Voed.